All right, welcome back, and we've got Mr. Bill, Mr. Brandon, going to cover steps 8 and 9 for us.
Thank you, Terry. I'm Brandon Scarborough, and I'm a drug addict.
And I'm Bill Nick, and I'm a heroin addict.
Hey, Bill. So I want to take a minute. I'm excited to be here. I get kind of bubble guts every time I get up here and start to do some things like this. And I like to start off with some form of prayer. Why do I want to pray right now for this? Is it it was things like this, and listening to Chris Raymer tapes and hearing people like Tarek and Brandon talk about, and Mark Houston talk about amends in a way that I had never heard it. These folks were bringing experiential stuff in these talks about amends in a way that I'd never experienced amends. So my hope is, if there's anyone in the room that may be in a place that I'm going to describe that I've been, the hope is that maybe you'll have a new experience and something may get prompted. So I'm going to pray for a second, and then we'll continue rolling. God, I thank you for the opportunity for us to be here. Thank you for your presence in this room, for the sobriety that's here, whether it's 1 day, 4 days, 20 days, 10 years. It's an amazing experience to be in a room full of folks that's trying to seek some sort of power to better themselves and to better the people's lives around them. I ask that you'd give us an open mind and a new experience as it's related to steps 8 and 9, that we may hear something, that we may say something that might spark a nerve in someone and give a willingness to make that amends they've been unwilling to make, or have a new idea and conception of what this amends experience is to look like. Thank you for all the blessings in our life, the gift of sobriety. Amen. So, Brandon Scarborough and amends were not very related for a few years. And I'm going to tell you, this was the... When I got into this thing, it was a very mishmash way of doing the steps, because I was in a place that I didn't have a sponsor, but they had me working steps. So I did what I could with what I had, and lo and behold, it took. Because God is what we're seeking, right? It's not about the process. I'm not worshiping the process. And it's not necessarily that this way is right, that way is wrong. It was my experience. I went through what I went through, and I got really hooked up to God through the set of steps that I'd done. I made one amends, because that was what I was allotted, the space that I wasn't really told to, like, go out on pass and make amends. So I took it upon myself to make one amends to my ex-wife, and it was real shitty. You know, it was not how I now see amends. Lo and behold, I'm sober. I'm excited about recovery. I'm out of treatment. I'm plugging along. The next sponsor I get, we go word for word, line by line through the book. We work the steps, and I have a bigger list, 8-step list of these amends that need to be made. But unfortunately, he was not taught in a way that had me making all of these amends. So, and some of you may have this experience, a lot, guy, and it's to no fault of these people. Now, hear this: we're only going to do what we're taught until we're prompted to seek further experience. Right? That's me. He only taught me what he knew to teach me, and it was a lot of prayer amends. Okay, we're going to pray for them because you shouldn't see her. We're going to pray for them, well, because that may harm someone that was like, you may get harmed. I don't know. I may have been the one to get harmed, and we know we're not others. You know, that we're not the ones that were concerned about being harmed. And it was, I ended up doing a few over the phone, like to my brother, who certainly should have been a face-to-face experience. And then amends kind of you know, on the 10, 11, and 12, not 9, 10, 11, and 12, but 10, 11, and 12, which now I know is, until I have made at least attempts and approach at these amends, all of my list, that I'm supposed to be practicing 9, 10, 11, and 12, and then a continuation of 10, and anytime I redo a four step, a fourth and fifth, then I still have more 9, 10, 11, and 12 to do. So that goes by. I'm rocking and rolling. I'm sponsoring the shit out of people. I'm prayer meditating the crap out of things. I'm just meditating myself away. Woo! I'm just, and I'm super happy. Like I'm content. Like I'm in it. But and I'm in meetings. Think about this. If you had this experience, eighth or ninth step comes up. Usually ninth step. Nobody does a meeting on the eighth step ever. But we all, you know, if we're gonna do one, we're gonna do one on the ninth step. And I go, cool. Probably going to be a good meeting. Definitely ain't going to share. You know, it's like, there ain't nothing about to come out for me because I've had such little experience with it. And I've read the stuff, and I'm trying to guide people the best I can that I'm sponsoring it. And as a result of what I was taught, I'm now teaching this same style of approaches and way to go about this thing. And I get prompted to, by way of I got, somehow or another, God put me in front of these guys, hearing these guys. My friend Bill Brown gets hooked up with someone who's working the steps. And this can, and actually he has a new experience. And this like little mishmash of things happen to where I start to hear different things about amends. And I start to be connected with folks who are having real experiences that said you make all of your amends, you know, all the ones that are in parameters of what that big book says. You know, I'm not out here trying to like impose myself on the people because you're going to take my amends, you know, like you're going to let me do it because it's all about me feeling better. Like, that's not what I'm saying, but within the parameters of the big book and guidance. And so I get excited about my last set of steps. My men's list like fucking tripled because I became so aware of so much more harm that I was never conscious of, and these people were around me and I had resources that were there to guide me, and then I get prompted to embark on a mission to actually start attacking these men's. I'm not going to tell you that I have been, that I have just floated on a cloud in a white light experience, but you talk about real, actual, intimate work with other people, experiences with folks that I'd never had doing amends before, and something that I've actually had to work at in recovery. And I say that not with like ego or any other way, but the fact prayer, the discipline of prayer meditation has just been, I've just had the willingness to do it. Sponsorship, I have just had the willingness to do it. I don't know why it's there, but it's there. A constant, at least seeking of an experience with God, that has been available for me. Writing inventory, I have been willing to do these things, but these effing amends, God, that has been the most difficult thing for me to stay consistent with. And it ain't power that's generating within me, and I can't tell you why or how the willingness became available, other than the fact that I definitely started hearing other experiences and wanted to seek that. And I actually do what the book says, and I started to pray for the willingness to make these amends. We're going to go through, definitely going to share some experiences with amends, talk about how I've been guided to do it up to this point. Please hear this too, like, if your experience was similar to mine in the beginning and you haven't really had the opportunity to attack these things, it's okay. I would encourage you to find someone, if that's something that you're interested in, doing all of the program, because I was like cool with doing most of it, I guess, but I wasn't apparently like super excited about all of it. And I'm glad that that's, you know, now an experience that I'm having and I can share on. It blew my mind when Tarek had mentioned to do this, and I'm like, he's like steps 8 and 9, and I'm like, how about that? This guy's got a similar experience too. I'm like, wow. The thing that's been most relevant in my life over the last year and 3 months is what I get to actually share what God's doing in my life with the amends process. So either way, I'll let Billy Boy chat for a few.
I'm Bill. I'm a heroin addict.
Bill!
So my experience with the amends process is a little bit different than Brandon's. In real early recovery, I had this way of approaching amends presented to me at workshops that were brought to the facility that I got sober at. And this stuff was presented to me, but... I think that a lot of people end up doing this is as we move through the steps, and I made a lot of, I don't want to say a lot, but I made some amends out the gate, you know, when I got to 9, and I made some, and then I move on to 10, 11, and 12, and I forgot about those original 9-step amends. So I end up going through another set of steps with the sponsor, and he didn't really emphasize the importance of making these amends at that time. I knew that they were, and I felt it internally, and I would sit in these meetings like Brandon talked about, and obviously I wasn't going to say anything. I had some experience with making some, but it wasn't until probably about spring of last year. The internal unmanageability going on inside of me was the worst it had been in sobriety, right? I was absolutely full of fear, resentful at everyone that I came in contact with, and that ick that goes on inside of you, right? It propelled me to seek out a new sponsor, right? It propelled me into a new set of steps. And, I look at that surrender that God brought on me when around the drugs and alcohol, right? It was almost like there was almost another surrender to move me through the seamless transition of how these steps are supposed to be worked, which I had never done before. Right. So I get through the work, and I get to up to step 8, and I'm shown a different approach that I had seen, but approach I had never put into practice. Right. I'd never done the note card system. I had never really sat down with the sponsor and gone over every single amends. I've never actually looked at how I can contact these people. Do I have a way that I can contact them? Do I even know what their names are? Right. So over the last, 7-8 months, I've gone after amends like I had never done before in my life. Now, as a direct result of that, at least I believe that it is, that internal unmanageability has gotten a little bit better. I'm a little less fearful. I've gone and faced some people in some situations and gone to clean up the wreckage of my past that I was balking at before, And it's something that there was shame around that, I didn't want to really talk to anybody and say that I wasn't doing these things. Then the thing is I would stay on my sponsees about them making their amends, but then I'm not doing it myself, right? So I guess we'll just kind of jump right into it. And it's hard for me not to look at the 7-step prayer moving into this, but so that last line in there that says, "Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding." As Zach and Elric had talked about earlier, saying this prayer and then moving into doing almost the opposite of these actions, to have these defects removed or at least put into remission for a short period of time. So it goes on to say, "We made a list of all persons we had harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends," right? So I've already made this list when I did my 4-step. My sponsor hopefully has improved on it when I sat down and did the 5th step. And that's something that I try to do with my sponsees is I'm going through, I'm going to be writing down these amends for them. We made it when we took our inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris, which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, we agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. So as I'm looking at step eight, and I'd mentioned the note card system. So, yes, I have that list when I get done with my fourth and my fifth step. But then there, in my experience, there was a lot of stuff that came up that needed to go down on that list, harm that I had caused other people, right? As I look at that note card system of doing this, and I think Brandon does his a little bit different, but as I went through the set of steps this time, my sponsor was like, all right, I want you to put the name down. I want you to put any contact information you have down for them, whether it be Facebook, telephone number, address, any way that you think that you can get in contact with them. If you don't, then we need to start looking at how we can gain that. And then the harm that you're aware of. I would look at this list in the past, because in the past what I did is I just had a list of all the people that I had harmed, and it was tucked away in a notebook that I never looked at, and I didn't think about it. So having these note cards in front of me and actually having to look, well, how can I actually get in touch with this person? Am I friends with them on Facebook? Do I have their address? Do I have their contact information? Do I know somebody that I can contact to get their contact information? It brings all this stuff into my mind, and I have to start really looking at these things. Not to mention that I have this stack of note cards that looks a little bit less intimidating than a big, long list or pages of names. Something that I do is I keep those note cards next to my bed. So it's always there. I'm always conscious of the fact that they're sitting there. And I'm going to pick 3 to 5 of them a month to address, right? So I just wanted to kind of go over the note card system, when making this 8-step amends list.
Something that I did as well and continue to do, you got the written, I have the written inventory, and I forget who was doing 4 and 5, Nathan and Hunter did 5, and we got the harms. I forget whoever, somebody had mentioned it, but we're looking at the harms around it also. We literally scour this entire inventory and add all these names. Whether I'm clear about it or not doesn't matter. If it's questionable, the name's going on the list. That's why I got folks that's going to tell me what to do. If I think it might be a harm, and I sit down and I say, God, please show me what amends are in this, what harms are in this inventory. Reveal to me who needs to go on this paper. Show me what other names I'm missing. It's amazing that, like I said, this list quadrupled. In my phone, I've got in my notes where I have an amends note. And throughout the day, when boom, JJ from 7 years ago, I stole his shit, whatever, whoever pops into my mind, I ain't going to assume I'll remember that when I get home. This list is an ongoing list because I'm ongoing remembering dumb shit that I've done. So I add it to the list. Dumb things that I've done, I add it to the list. And then I don't have to worry about losing it, missing it. One, that the note card system, game changer. That means I ain't trying to make 50 amends. I got, like Bill said, I picked 3 to 5, and I pray over these amends regularly, these cards regularly. God revealed to me which amends you'd have me make. And then, starting out, how do I start? With the ones that I'm willing to do. Pick 3 to 5, and then out of those 3 to 5, I'm going to start with 1. Because that's all that I'm about to be doing. Yeah, I'm going to make that approach, 1 approach. That's easier than 10. I got to make 10 approaches this week. Now, F that. No, I got to make 1 approach right in this moment. And once I make that approach, we find out what happens. Whether there's a waiting game or not, okay. Then, here's 1 amends that I need to make. And so it's less like overwhelming. And I can like digest that a little more, and all of a sudden this energy starts to happen, and I make a few, and I get some experience with that, and I make more, and they get experience with that. But the eighth step, and Tarek will say it too. The I did not come up with this obviously, and I don't know where they got it, but it's a lot of the freedom coming in the willingness of the eighth step, the fact that I'm willing to make the approach, says a lot about where I'm at. There's freedom that comes in the fact that I'm even willing to make it, that I make the approach, regardless of the outcome of what actually takes place, the fact that I have put myself in a position to go and attempt to clear this up. Some folks may not want to see me. That's likely. And you know what? That's all right. There is some freedom that comes with that. You got anything else on eight? So, using steps 10 and 11, you know, we talk about, and I won't go into that a whole lot, but prayer meditation is vital to be doing in this stage of the game. Because if I'm trying to run on Brandon's ideas and Brandon's thoughts and Brandon's, beliefs that these are the people that need to be sought and not asking this power that I'm hopefully getting hooked up with, I'm running amok. So I sit and actually pray over these things and meditate and ask it come. I actually sat and made an amends. I sat and made an amends to God, and some of y'all may think that's just retarded, but I did, because I felt like my relationship with God was really, I had really been kind of a shitty, participant in that. I've never not believed that God existed. I just never gave a shit about having an intimate relationship. So I sat quietly, and I went through the series of questions, the series of, God, this is why I'm here. You know, this is what I've been taught. I explained why am I here? God, this is the harm that I'm aware of. If there's any harm I'm unaware of, would you please reveal it to me? How have I affected you? And then how can I make this right? And I sat for 10, I don't remember how long it was, 10, 20 minutes, just in silence, and intuitively was actually given the instructions to wake up at the same time every day so I could spend an hour in prayer meditation, to trust and to make my effing amends. That was what I was given in that amends with God. So that was also part of the movement into this, this actual, really experience seeking and not just, theorizing or reading about it. On page 77, in terms of amends with others, what is our real purpose? Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. So again, I don't know who God wants me to make amends to, and I don't know what He's got in store. A current experience with making amends to an old employer. Had a boss in Athens, Georgia. I never consciously stole money from him, but I was high every day that I worked for this. I've been high at every job I've ever had until I got sober. And that's not, I have no exaggeration. Every employer that I have ever worked for has lost money due to my incapacitated ass in some way, shape, or form. Well, did I give them an honest day's work for an honest day's pay? Well, no, I did not. Clearly, I didn't. So I worked for this man for 3 years. He ended up letting me go. Imagine that. He let me go. I would disappear for hours. He told me when I made the amends, he said, "Brandon, buddy, you were good at what you did. If I could get you there. If you showed up, you did a good job for me. You're the best person that worked in that role for me, but I couldn't keep you in office because I'd disappear for hours chasing opiates, and then come back and until I'd nod out, and then, the day would be done." So anyway, I go and drive to Athens. I set aside a weekend. Like, this becomes, this is not theoretical. This goes on my list of things to do, just like a just like my daily life things. Make amends approach to Travis. Make a set aside day for amends in Athens. Make amends trip to Augusta. If I don't, if I'm not intentional about this stuff, it goes back in the book, like Bill said. It goes in my pocket and the list goes away. The intentionality is finally there. So I go to Athens and I sit down with him and I meet with him and I made the amends. He didn't want, I think I talked to Terry before this. I've called him a lot. He gets disturbed. Brandon, too, was getting disturbed there for a while with me and these damn amend cards. But I sat down with him and told him the harms I was aware of, asked him was there anything I was unaware of, asked him if I could compensate, if there's any way we could come up with a monetary figure for the time, because I didn't know how much, but I wanted to open that conversation up to him, if we could come up with a figure that I owed him for the being incapacitated, putting his property in danger. I'd drive his vehicle so high and nodding out. I'd be in his home with his wife and eventually with his newborn. It ended up being one of those things where he's like, no, you being sober is cool. However, he didn't say this, but the God's prompting was much better than mine, because this guy was on my list for a while, and somehow or another, the intuitive thought came to do it, and his wife comes home, we talk, we chit-chat, we exchange numbers, she's super excited, super happy, or we talked about things. I think we did exchange numbers, maybe I'd have lost it. 2 days later, I get a call from her. Hey, I've got a cousin. Of course, y'all know where this is going. I've got a cousin. She really needs help. Y'all, we don't know who to call for these things. We don't know where to send people. You know, do you know anywhere that we can get her? Primary mental health, secondary substance use. Yeah, give me a minute. Let me see what I can do. Just get on the phone. Start calling folks. A day, 2 days later, she's in Atlanta in a fucking program. As far as I know, she's still doing well. There's no way for me to have known that at that time, that cousin was going to reach out for that help. It just unfolded within the day or two that I was there. There's no other way for me to know when to do it but for God to prompt me and for me to be willing to seek guidance. And to seek the relationship with this power that's guiding me that I can't explain or don't know why or how. But when that happens, my job is to respond to it. So that's pretty cool. One of my experiences with old employers.
Thanks, Brandon. So looking at that line, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be a maximum service to God and the people about us. I know that the amends aren't for me. Yes, I get relief in the process. And yes, the amends are so the people can get free also. But I believe that the real purpose of it is to be at a place where we can be of maximum service to God and people about us. Kind of like Brandon just shared, right? If he had not gone and made this amends, you know, who would they have gone to contact when this loved one needed help, right? You know, and I've had countless experiences with this, you know, where because I went and made the amends to this person, you know, I've had people reach out to me seeking guidance and direction in that area, right? As for the idea of being moved and directed, you know, towards what amends to be made after prayer and meditation over it. I'm going to share experience, right? So there's this dental student that I knew back when I was still out there using it. It was probably back 2008 or whatnot, right? You know, and he gave me some money to go get him some stuff, and I never came back with it, and I never spoke to the guy ever again, right? You know, it's funny, I go to detox this time when I attempted recovery, and I meet a guy in there, and he's like, "Yeah, my brother's name's Lane. He lived in Augusta. He was a dental student there." And I was like, "Holy shit, I know who your brother is, right?" And I didn't think anything of it at that time. But as I sit down and I'm going through my first set of steps, right? Obviously, his brother comes up on that original 8-step amends list. I stole money from him. He gave me money to get something, and I never came back. Didn't put any more thought into it. I never asked him what his brother's last name. All I know is his name was Lane. He's a dental student, right? Fast forward 7 months, I'm in LaGrange at this Larry Scott Big Book study, and I run into the same guy, right? And you'd think that at that time, knowing that he's on my 8-step amends list, that I would have asked for his brother's contact information, asked what his name was. That didn't happen, right? And then I go through this period of, from like 8 months sober till 2 years sober where, yeah, I made some amends sporadically here and there, but I wasn't going after him. So as I'm sitting down on these note cards looking at this guy, Lane, dental student, how can I get in touch with this guy? I start calling people that I knew used to deal with him and see if they know what his last name is, see if they have any contact information for him. And, I spend like maybe like a month on and off like calling different random people. And there was like one guy that I just could not get in touch with. And finally, he responded back to me through text message. He's like, "I'm pretty sure his last name is so-and-so." And, I Google the guy's name, and a picture shows up. He's a dentist here in the Atlanta area, right? But I'm unsure about how to like go and approach this situation because like I'm looking for a telephone number, email address. He's not on Facebook. I finally find his brother on Facebook, but I'm not getting a response back from him, right? And I'm like, do I write a letter to his office? What if somebody intercepts it and breaks his anonymity? So I'm like seeking counsel from like multiple people on how to handle the situation. So I stopped by Brandon's work one day, right? And he's sitting in his office typing away, and like I present the question to him, and he's like, "Well, hold on, let me look this guy up real quick." And he looks it up, and he's like, "Holy shit! The last time I went to the dentist, this guy worked on my teeth."
He's not my normal dentist either. He was a feeling I'd never seen a dude in my life, and ain't seen him since.
And it's like, well, why this amends? Why this time? Why, and I don't know that I will ever really know the answer. Maybe I will, of why I was moved and compelled to seek after this guy like I did, right? The only thing I can come up with is that God was guiding and directing me and through Brandon also, right? So I make an approach to him. I finally come after talking to my sponsor. He's like, "Dude, he's in 12-step recovery. Just send him a letter." So I send a letter, and the day that I drop it in the mailbox, I'd actually called up to his dental office earlier to make sure which address to send him a letter if I wanted to. And I was like, "Yeah, I'm an old acquaintance from when he was in dental school in Augusta." I get a call back from him that day. And we line up to meet about 2 weeks later, and I go and I sit down with the guy. And he got sober about 4.5 years ago. It ended up losing his dental license in and out of detox centers. And, but it was being pushed and pulled and moved to go and make this amends, man. It was an extremely cool experience. So I sit down with him, and, I go over my spiel of, I was extremely dishonest. I stole from you. I was selfish and inconsiderate. I didn't think about, the fact that this was your money. I just took your money and I went on with it, and I laid out the three questions that I was taught to go over. Is there anything that I left out? And he's like, "No, I don't believe that there is." "Well, would you like to tell me how my behavior affected you?" And he was like, "Yeah, it pissed me the fuck off. I was dope sick because of you." and besides giving you the $250 that I stole from you, what can I do to make things right? And he's like, "I'd like you to stay in communication with me." I believe that if we stay in communication, we can end up helping a lot of people. You know, powerful experience. Probably one of the most authentic amends that I've ever made. There wasn't a weird, awkward feeling. It probably had something to do that he was in 12-step recovery himself. I don't know. But like, it almost had became, and I hate to say it, but it almost had became a game through this process, because I was like, I'm going to find this guy. I've got to find this guy. It was the first time I was ever excited about going and making amends to somebody. You know, and I
take my money. Take my money.
I hate me.
Please. And he kept his money too.
Didn't
say don't. Nah, we're good. He said, give me my $200, yeah. Motherfucker.
But it's the way that the Spirit will move us and push us and guide us, you know, in this process. If I ask for that guidance and if I listen to what's going on internally with me.
Page 76, it says, if we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. And I have to ask myself, and this is something that I picked up, I think, from these guys, is or maybe it was from a Mark Houston talk that says, do I believe that making all of my amends has anything to do with whether I'll drink again or not? I don't think I believed that at one time, which would tell me, essentially, I got a first step problem, I think, because I ain't convinced. I'm assuming that all of this shit ain't for me. And I know it is. I know, based out of the experience I've had with my first step, this is absolutely for me. This is the only thing that's been for me. So if I haven't the willingness to do these things, I pray until it comes. Humility. I wrote this down right after y'all were speaking, because it, or one of y'all, Zach or Elric, said humility is the 12 and 12 talks about it being the principle beneath all, or the principles under all the steps, or that are with all the steps, or something of that effect. And then they actually go along in the 12 and 12 and says that basic ingredient of all humility, a desire to seek and do God's will. That's what humility is made up of, essentially, is a desire to seek and do God's will. I gained some humility when I took old boy. I had a best friend that my ex-wife cheated on me with. In my bed, while I was drunk, passed out, don't mind you that I'm a drunk asshole, and that I terrorize people when I'm drunk, and I'm miserable to be around, especially if you're considered my girlfriend, because I'm real insecure and I'm real angry, and I really, really can't stand if anyone looks at you. More or less, you look at them, because I'm that kind of just, ugh, angry leprechaun. Like, insert liquor, turn out leprechaun ass. we were really good friends. And I share this as a connection to humility. I'm prompted to give this man. We used to do a lot of pills together, and we'd trade back and forth. And even after all the BS happened with he and her, I'm a good drug addict. And when I need to get something out of you, I'm still going to do business with you just enough so I can get your money, get my drugs, give you something, and then we'll be not talk again. Because I got to get what I got to get, right? So it comes up that he gave me $400 for some Roxy's. Well, I was real resentful this day, and I was real jaded out. And he didn't get his Roxy's. I did them all before they made them back to him. And then he came to the house. This is active addiction. He comes to the house and he questions me about them, and I was not polite. And I basically told him to, you know, please leave. And he left. And of course, dude, I owe him $400. Drugs or not, in the game or not, charge it to the game. No, I owe this. I stole this man's money, regardless of the resentment, regardless of how I felt about it. I need to pay this man back. So it didn't feel real good, but I called him up. And I went and I shook his hand. And I gave him his money, and he too kept his money. He did not tell me to keep that money. and we shook hands, and I actually asked him if there was, I gave him an opportunity to speak to me and tell me how I had affected him and if there's anything I could do, because I'd really caused a lot of issues in his life. He ended up moving away for a little while because I think in part because it just got so, we were so close, and then it just got really volatile, and he ended up leaving town for a year or two, and then we didn't talk at all. So it cleared up a lot of the crap that had accumulated. We're not buddies today. I don't need to go hang out with him, and he don't need to hang out with me. But the wreckage has been cleared, and I've made right with that man, and I don't fear seeing him. I don't fear that there's going to be awkward tension outside of just the normal awkwardness from seeing someone we haven't seen in a while. Because I was willing to go, God gave me the willingness to go and make this right with someone who, you know, in a normal, y'all, we are asked to do some pretty off-the-wall things in this program, right? My dad has heard me talk about some of the stuff I've done. My dad is not in the program, and he's like, what? You're going to go pay who? Why? And I'm like, Dad, it's just what we're supposed to do. He's like, that ain't your fault. You shouldn't have. I'm like, Dad, it's what, you know, unless I'm crushed by a self-imposed crisis, and I believe my life depends upon it. This stuff doesn't seem real relevant or real necessary. But when I'm clear in my first step, and I start to realize that, wow, this stuff absolutely, you know, this plays a part in whether I stay sober long term, which I'm seeking permanent sobriety. I ain't trying to come in and out, y'all. Have that. Have the in and outs. And I ain't judging the in and outs. We have to get to where we got to get to. And I'm grateful that my in and out stopped at treatment number 4, and the willingness has remained since to stay right here.
Hearing this idea in meetings that we don't make amends to our drug dealers, that this idea of living amends, that like if I just live this way of life, if I stay clean and sober, that that's going to mend these relationships. You know, and I don't believe that it says that in the big book. It sounds more like practicing these principles in all of our affairs, right? I have an experience with going and making amends to a drug dealer, you know, and if I hadn't made, I don't know what the outcome of this would have looked like, right? You know, so there was this girl, and she wasn't just like the average drug dealer. It wasn't like, you know, yeah, I just bought dope from her and I screwed her over. It was a girl that used to, when I wouldn't have anywhere to go, she would bring me into her house, you know, and let me stay there, you know, and she would take care of me. She would break bread with me, you know. It was a real good friend, right? And it was about 4 months before I got sober. At the very end, I went by her house because I didn't have anywhere else to go, and she was the only one home. House was unlocked, and she was asleep, and her purse was laying there, you know. So I went and did what anybody would do in that situation, and I took $150 out of her purse, and I was gone, you know. And this is probably about 7 months sober. It had been about a year, right? So I go and I make an approach to her, and obviously she wants to meet me, you know, so I go and meet with her, and, you know, I go over my spiel and I give her the money back, you know, and I was like, is there anything that I left out? And, like, once I finally got done to the end of it, she was like, you're the one that took that money, right? I've thought for the last year that a mutual friend of ours is the one that took that money. We haven't spoke since then. You know, and earlier I said, yeah, the amends aren't for me, and they're for the other person. And, you know, seeing the ripple effect that, like, my action of going in, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the fact that this girl was selling dope, regardless of the fact of what we were doing in our lives at that moment, you know, my actions separated two close friends where they hadn't spoke for a year. You know, so not only do, like, yes, I get free in this process of going and making amends, but seeing how my actions affected two people's relationship that I was completely unaware of, You know, and that was one of those real powerful moments. Now, if I had gone with the idea that I've heard so many times that, like, it's a drug dealer, you don't need to go and pay this person back. You know, that's just the shit that goes on when we live that way of life. You know, that's bullshit. You know, there's so much harm and so much chaos, because if I look back on it, man, it was not all of that, the shit that goes on when we live that way of life, every single person that I affected in that time. You know, this idea that, like, that I'm a other, made direct amends wherever possible, except where to do so would harm them or others. I'm not a others. If it's going to affect me, I don't do that. I don't know if Brandon read this or not, but it says, reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any lengths to find a spiritual experience. We ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything. You know, and I was convinced of the hopelessness and fatality of this disease in step one, in my first set of steps, as my first pass through the steps, in my second pass through the set of steps. But I don't know what it was. For some reason, there was not a willingness to go after these amends until this last time. You know, and maybe it's the idea that, like, I was doing the other things, but this is the one thing that was being left off, and that internal unmanageability coming back. Would there still be internal unmanageability if I had been doing all this? Yeah, probably so. You know, these bedevilments would have came back. But I truly believe that it was God bringing me to another surrender, where I was going to go after cleaning up the wreckage of my past like I had never done before. That's all I got with that.
It's crazy how after a little bit of time I start to get clarity on harms that I was before unaware of. I've got some the big book knocks out several different categories. On page 78, we have people we owe money to in that second paragraph. The next paragraph is criminal offenses. We got alimony. We've got involving others. Before I implicate someone, I'm going to get back to this clarity and some money that I owed that I'd forgotten about. But involving others, I got one where I drove old boy to rob this house. I was a driver. I waited. He robbed him. He ends up getting arrested for it. He didn't tell on me. And ends up doing a little bit of time for it, or serving some, doing some county stuff, whatever. He did whatever he was asked to do to repay that damage. So this shows up on my amends list, and I'm like, well, damn, I feel like I owe them folks an amends. Well, the book says on page 80, before taking drastic action which might implicate other people, we secure their consent. If we have obtained permission, have consulted with others, ask God to help, and the drastic step is indicated, we must not shrink at anything. So that meant I needed to ask this man, like, hey, what are your thoughts on me going and trying to make this amends to these folks? I don't know where they live. I don't remember. I know you were connected to them through family friends. And I was unaware at the time. I mean, they were on my list. It's a good thing that I'm in the book and I'm guided. And I got folks guiding me saying, hey, you can't just be going, you know, if this guy is tied with it, we gotta take the proper steps before we go putting him at risk. And I talked to him, he ends up telling me he had made a statement that said he was alone. He had done his time. It was clear, it was done. It was over with. He said, I'd really prefer, let's just let it be. I've served what I needed to serve. I've paid back what I needed to pay back to them. I don't want them asking me why I told them that no one else was involved when there was someone else involved. So what is my job there? I had to let that lie. I can't go and just insert myself in there despite what he's already asked me and already paid back and repaired. So being connected with folks, please, please, if this is a new thing and this is overwhelming, which happens because, you know, I can sit here now with 4 years and 8 months and like 16 days of sobriety and think about some amends and get a little overwhelmed. I'm not there and I'm not seeing God in that future tripping experience. So if you're here and you're like, oh my God, oh, these amends, no, let's just wait. Like we're going to have folks that are with us, guiding us. We're going to have people telling us what to do. Don't go out here being old Captain Repair-a-ho and you know, repairing all the damage now. Like, woo, pump the brakes. Let's get some clarity from people that's done it. But money. I had forgotten that when I was using, I had a Dillard's credit card that my parents had given me because I'm entitled like that. God. I'd have been a lot worse if they'd have figured out, like, we got to cut his little ass off now. If they'd have figured that out sooner, I'd have maybe hit a bottom sooner, whatever. But reality is, here I am. I had a Dillard's credit card. My heroin dealer, like, Polo. So, lo and behold, we go to Dillard's. We are $800 worth of shit. Yeah, you get some too, yeah. Tell my parents that the card's stolen, of course. Like, what the? Brandon, $800. Car was stolen, Mom. Just like all the phones that got ruined when I'd piss myself when I was drinking. And I'd be like, I dropped the phone in the toilet. No, you pissed yourself. And you ruined another phone. So, card was stolen. No, it wasn't. Heroin dealers got a lot of new Polo. Cool. So, I'm sober and I'm like, oh my God. What do I do about that? Well, apparently I needed to go to Dillard's and I prayed about it. I consulted other people. I got sought guidance and I felt led that I needed to go and be willing to face whatever was going to be faced. Because the fact is my parents didn't pay for it. So Dillard's got effed out of $800 because that charge wasn't taken care of. So I go up to their desk and I'm like, this is what happened. When I was in active addiction and I charged a bunch of stuff and I told my parents the card was stolen and y'all removed the charges and I owe you $800. What can I do to make that right? Walmart had told me, we can't take your money because I did the same thing with Walmart. Dillard's, however, has a restitution account. So I'm writing $20 checks a month to Dillard's right now. I guess I'll do that till 20 times 12 or I make more money, but I'm $20 a month and I'm reminded we're willing to go to any lengths, right? $20 a month. I'm clearing it up. And every time I send that check, it's like, you know, this is what was implied and I'm in the game. So same with my dad, a little $25-$50 check a month. Look, I've made the approach. I'm doing what's been asked and it's getting cleared up. So, you got some on you? I've seen, Tarek is familiar with this scenario. One of the closest people to me, a woman. The power of God is real, my friends. Sexually abused for years by a very, very close male figure in her life. Still prominent in the family, still present. After five, almost six years of doing it, she's prompted to go make amends for the manipulation and the harm that she had caused. What? For her mistakes, her wrongs, and makes amends for that. And I'm right, and I'm able to watch this from a close distance and watch how cool God is to see this actually take place and watch her get a little freer and know that she's at least done her part. Her, you know, what's asked of her because she feels it necessary so she can stay well and God felt it necessary for her to go and make that amends. Don't know how he feels. Don't know if he got freedom from it. it ain't my business to find out. But I'm going to tell you that, that is some wild, wild stuff. So, you know, it makes my level of forgiveness when I think about some little things that I might be holding to. I'm like, wow, you know, like if that's possible through this, there ain't no amends on my list that can't be made. There don't need to. There ain't an unwilling my ass to watch that firsthand and go, whew, that's power. So there ain't a one that I say I'm unwilling to make. I really believe I'm not unwilling to make any. But it comes, it changes sometimes when that approach is going to be made. So yeah, you got something there. 83.
The bottom of 83, it says, but we don't delay. If it can be avoided, we should be sensible, tactful, considerate, humble, without being servile or scraping. As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. You know, I make these approaches and give the person the option whether they want to hear what I have to say or not. You know, I've had people that just have not responded one bit at all to the approach. I've had people that have said, no, thank you. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't go and chase these people down. I let them be. God will bring these people around if God sees fit for me to make direct amends to these people. My sponsor is not the end-all be-all when it comes to his advice on amends. I am to seek guidance from multiple people. If I'm sponsoring someone and I don't have personal experience with that actual situation, it's my job to find somebody that does. You know, I've had this one amends that's been weighing on me a lot here lately, and you know, I seek to my sponsor, what should I do about it? He's like, you need to call Tarek. I call Tarek. Tarek tells me, you need to make that amends. I call my sponsor back. He's like, well, let me call Lindsay and see what she has to say. So she reaches out to three of her sponsees that have been through this situation of the girl that I put this through, right? The first girl says, absolutely not. The other two say, yes, you need to make that amends. Tarek was right. I need to make that amends. That approach has been made. I'm waiting to hear back from her, a response from her. Probably want to be the most difficult but maybe most powerful experiences when and if it happens. But seeking guidance from people that have experience with this. I'm not here to give you my opinion or what I think about how you should handle this situation. And hopefully my sponsor isn't doing the same thing. I've had sponsors in the past that have. You know, but I just wanted to throw that out there. So, and I said earlier that before I went through this set of steps, the internal condition was on me. The internal unmanageability was almost like I was brought to another surrender to move through this work like I had never had before. You know, so like the bedevilments being the internal unmanageability, and I'd like to read this because I was living in a lot of fear. I was not experiencing a lot of these ninth step promises, and because of lack of making amends, right? So I'm going to read the bedevilment first, then opposing will be the promise.
These are the ninth step promises, not the only promises in the book, however. Most of y'all are very aware of that. Some of you may have been told the ninth step promises are the promises. They're some of the promises, and they're great.
Bedevilment. We are having trouble with personal relationships. Promise. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Bedevilment. We could control our emotional nature. Couldn't control our emotional nature. Promise. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. Bedevilment. We were a prey to misery and depression. Promise. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Bedevilment. We couldn't make a living. Promise. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. Bedevilment. We had a feeling of uselessness. Promise. A feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. bedevilment. We are full of fear, promise. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. Bedevilment. We are unhappy, promise. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Bedevilment. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people, promise. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it.
Tarek and Brandon, thank y'all for doing these things. How cool is it that we sit here on a Saturday, not fucked up, in the same place for a continuous basis, like for multiple hours, and be okay communicating with other humans? Don't lose sight of the miracles that this stuff brings in our lives. This is truly, to think that this is what we've chosen, most of us have chosen, some of the sober living guys may not have chosen, most of us have chosen to experience this. It's cool. So thank y'all for doing these things, man. That's all we got.
All right, we're going to take a 15-minute break.